phony? Lord, have mercy sakes. Cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. They had no preparation. They didn't. You read 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, Titus 1, the qualifications of a true man of God. You don't find the qualifications manifested in the fella's life. I know a woman ain't no apostle or prophet and all that mess. And God calls men, anoints men, by the way. Praise God. He said, I don't suffer a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the men, but to be in silence, to shut up, in other words. Be quiet and learn. Praise the Lord. You don't believe it? Start off in the 2nd and 3rd chapter of Genesis and find out what happened. As I said the other day, that's my favorite subject. All this mess is created in the church because women are in authority. Oh, you don't see it. You just see a lot of them, but they're behind the scene. They control the man from back there. You know, he's a puppet, really. And he's a wimp. That's it. The men are wimps, and the women are... Look out, women. Boy, they're battling bozos and a lot of other names you could put on them. Ah, Lord have mercy, what are you doing? Trying to confine me here, not being intelligent as you are, and I ain't got, my Lord have mercy, I've got more education you have. Shoot, that ain't got nothing to do with you, ladies. Read back there in Genesis 2 and 3 where this mess started off in the Garden of Eden. God told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God told Adam, he didn't tell Eve, he told Adam. Adam had to tell Eve, that was his responsibility and command her. But wait a minute. There was another fellow in that garden, the devil. Now, he had a message. He didn't tell his message to the man. He told his message to the woman. He's still doing it. He's still doing it. And the woman told the man. And the Bible said the man was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. It still works like that. Don't tell me, don't you a liar if you say it don't. Praise God. That's just the way it still works. That's what the New Testament still projects. Isaiah 3 and 12 said, as for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of your paths. Yes. These charlatans, these Elmergantris, yes. These Demases, yes. Got a Jezebel back home that's manipulating them like a puppet. Oh, it's usually through sex. Oh, they get them blackmail. They find out they did something, you know, and I'll tell on you if you don't do what I tell you to do. I've had preachers tell me that. Hey, I can't do that, brother. He said, I slipped, made a mistake back a few years ago. I've had people to tell me this. Church of God preachers. I'll just tell you who they were and some others too. They said, hey, I'm sorry. I just can't go along with you in that because my wife don't like you to start with. And she says she's going to tell on me for what I did back there and didn't get caught. Hey, man, I've been around. Come on, bro. These preachers know I know them, just like a book. And they're old ladies, I know them even better. Yeah. Battling battle axes. Yeah. God have mercy sakes. Yeah. They'd fight with a circle saw. That ain't no joke. God, they know they're going to lose. They still fight. Oh, yeah. Kind of knock them down. They jump right in your face. Shoot. I want to tell you something. I'm talking about what's wrong with the church. We don't have the unity of the spirit and the unity of the faith. Mama's got the reins. Oh, you say, I didn't see Mama up there. If you could listen in to the parsonage over there, had some of them bugs like the Russians bug our embassy with. If you had a few of them around in the rafters and pipes and the, you know, in the bathroom and under the bed springs, you know, where you could pick it up, you'd find out who was ruling the roost. You need to tell me, I've been around much anymore. I've been around these preachers in their conventions, in their, what do they call them when they rest, R&R periods, you know, rest and recreation. When you're off, you know, fishing, I've taken them fishing, they let their hair down. Ray, I got to tell you something. I just got to tell you something. Man, my wife rules this, runs this church. I'm the puppet, but my wife's running this church. Woo! I already knew it, but I was glad for that confession. That helped me to be able to tell you what I'm telling you with knowledge and not by revelation. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm telling you what's wrong with the church. We don't have unity of the Spirit. That'll break up any spirit when you get that mess started. See, you can't have unity of the faith until you have unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
And God is not going to give you a unification of the Spirit until you agree, man, wife, women in the pew or up here, wherever they are, with everybody else, with the preacher that's a man of God. If you don't agree with that word, there's not going to be no unity of the Spirit.
Right.
And because there's no unity of the faith, you've got to agree with the word of God, or you're not going to have no unity of the faith. And you can't endeavor to keep the unity of the faith and the bond of peace unless you're going to have the unity of this word of God without compromise. You can't have Jezebels and battle axes running the church. I'm talking about who I'm talking about. I ain't calling every woman a battle axe and Jezebel. I'm glad there's some that's not.
All right.
Them's the kind of women I want in this church and ministry.
Amen.
Them battle axes and Jezebels go somewhere else.
Amen.
And I want to give them word. I don't want your money. I don't want you singing. I don't want you nothing.
Go
praise God. Praise unless you want to repent and get right with God.
That's right.
Go somewhere else.
Amen.
You ain't bothering me. Praise God. I've lived without you a long time, and I'll live some more without you. I'll pay my bills and jingle a few pence around. Yeah, look at that. 2 pennies. Praise God. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Praise the Lord. I'd rather have that. We're living in a church where preparation is scorned, and preparation is the most important part of your life, Christian friend, or as a minister. It's not that calling, it's your preparation.
Amen.
Many are called. Can't you believe what God's word said? Called, foot on the calling. Many are called, but few are chosen.
Amen.
Hey, God don't choose you unless you prepare. You're going to be a misfit, reject, or something, sure as the world.
Yes.
You got to prepare.
Amen.
Preparation is the most important part of a man, woman, boy, girl's ministry or life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're going to be a witness, if you're going to be anything, preparation.
Praise God.
Don't start out here blatant like a parrot or bellowing like a bull till you get prepared.
All right.
My God, have mercy.
Amen.
Old loudmouth Christians, most of them's novices. They don't know what they're talking about. They didn't take time to prepare. They just started off. At the big end of the horn, and the further they go, the tighter it gets. I like for it to start off tight and right and get looser as I go. Praise God.
Amen.
Instead of starting off, oh, the big end of the horn. Oh, I'm a great calling. Foot on your calling. I ain't got nothing to do with it. It's your preparation. John the Baptist, it took him 30 years before God could use him.
Amen.
Jesus was 30 before God ever could use him. What was he doing? He was at home preparing.
Amen.
He worked in a carpenter shop. He knew how to use these hands.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. I tell all you guys here in Bible school, the best credentials you can have to work for God is calluses on your hands.
Yes.
Foot on a lazy preacher. Paul wasn't no lazy preacher. He said, I've shown you all things. How that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive.
Yes.
And he stretched them old hands out calloused, handling them old tent pegs and old tent and rope and mess and needles and thread and Aquila and Priscilla's tent shop. God have mercy. He had helpers that worked, and Paul would get him a job. Wherever Aquila and Priscilla was, that's where Paul was, working in a tent shop and preaching when he had time. He said, hey, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. That's in Acts 20, verse 33, 34, 35. And he says, hey, I've shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to do it. Why don't you follow my example? God wants to make an example out of a man, not a big mouth. My mouth should not be any bigger than my example to you,
right,
speaks out. If my life, my example, in integrity, in industry, in honesty, in the principles, living the principles of the Word of God are not as effective as my mouth ought to keep the big mouth shut.
Amen.
And let my light just shine.
Amen.
And do the talking.
Amen.
Oh, turn on these big mouths. Braggadocio, talk, talk, talk. I want to tell you something. God's people needs examples more than they need big mouths. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:15, said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. You don't have many fathers, but in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. He says, I got a fellow here, a protege of mine, a young man, a helper, named Timothy. Says, I'm going to send him to you. And when he comes, what's Timothy going to teach you? I'm talking about, folks, bringing us in the unity of the Spirit and of the faith. Now, I'm going to tell you how it works, and it ain't going to work no other way. You can try it till your head falls off. Here's the way it works. You got a man that's your example. You got a man that's the voice that God has raised up. You got a man that knows the Word of God and is not afraid to preach it, and his life and his example proves it. Okay. He said, when he's come to you, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and 17, he said, he'll bring you in remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, that's what Timothy come to town with. He didn't come in there telling how great Timothy was. He told about how great, or how the ways of that man, not how great he was, but he just brought him in remembrance of the ways and the message of the man that taught him and sent him. God Almighty, I've been here long enough to span the church of all in the 20s and 30s with the backslidden church in the 80s that God has rejected and spewed out of his mouth. Then don't know what I'm talking about. God's sakes in this world. I saw the church when people lived by faith and that's all they had. They didn't have any money. I saw when preachers went out and preached and traveled all over the country when they didn't have any money. They had to either walk, hitchhike, and once in a while they could hobo on an old freight train. But they'd get there. Praise God. And they took the gospel. They didn't go in there with a stupid compromising message and a money bag hanging on their back like a National League quarterback. That old towel back there. Most of them come to town, they got a big old knapsack. And boy, when they leave, they got it filled with Yankee dollars. And they don't care whether you got anything left or not. Just so he can get your money and leave town. And if he never comes back again, he don't care about that either. He wants your money. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God wants a man of God to be an example. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He rejects him. Paul said, I keep under my body. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I forget to give you some of these references, but it's in the word. I'm a jumping around, but I'm in the word.
Praise the Lord.
I keep under my body. That means he keeps it down. Pushed down. Lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Somebody's got to be the papa, the daddy, the father, the teacher, the example. And have helpers that'll hold up his hands to the going down of the sun. Like Aaron and Hur did Moses back in Exodus 17 when he was up there. And they were fighting Amalek for their lives. They were fighting for their lives. And when Moses' hands would go down, the old flesh would overcome. The Amaleks would win. Boy, Aaron and Hur saw the distress of that situation. They analyzed it quickly. People don't realize that. They realize that Moses was sitting up there on a rock as their inspiration. He told his young helpers, Joshua in command, he said, you go fight with them. I'll get up here on this rock, and I'll hold up my staff. Shoot, he got tired. His hands went down. And Aaron and Hur saw that dilemma. And they rushed to his side when the battle was turning against him. And them hands went back up. And old Joshua looked back up there and saw them hands up with that staff. And man, the tide turned again. Their valor, their faith, their courage returned. And they began to chase them Amalekites. And they won the victory. Praise God. And old Moses said, call this place Jehovah Nissi, for the Lord has sworn that he'll fight with Amalek from generation to generation.
This is the end of side one. Please turn your cassette over for side two at this time. Thank you.